The title of this message is The Lord's Signal. I could have called it The Lord's Whistle or The Whistle from Heaven. But there's a sound right now that's going out into all the world. And it's a pre-revival sound. It's a pre-tribulation sound. It's a sound of God that comes in a whisper. It is subtle. But those who are His are beginning to hear the sound, and they're being stirred to come back to the purposes of God. Open your Bibles with me now to Zechariah chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 6 and then verse 8 to the end of the chapter. Zechariah 10 and verse 6 says, I will strengthen the house of Judah and save the house of Joseph. I will restore them because I have compassion on them. Verse 8, I will signal for them and gather them in. Say signal for them. I will signal for them and gather them in. Surely I have redeemed them. They will be as numerous as before. Though I scattered them among the peoples, yet in distant lands they will remember me. They and their children will survive and they will return. I will bring them back from Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them to Gilead and Lebanon, and there will not be room enough for them. They will pass through the sea of trouble. The surging sea will be subdued, and all the depths of the Nile will dry up. Assyria's pride will be brought down. Egypt's scepter will pass away. I will strengthen them in the Lord, and in His name they will walk. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we say yes to the great teacher of the universe, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask You to instruct us and impart wisdom and understanding and prophetic vision into our hearts that we might walk with You in these days and rise up to the call of God on our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pentecost Sunday, one of the seven feasts of the Lord that were given to the Jewish people. And on Pentecost, you know what happened in the New Testament. There was a coming back of a people who had lost faith, who had lost vision, who had lost the energy and the momentum and power of God in their lives. I'm talking about the people of Israel. And the Lord Jesus, when He ascended up on high, and just before, He said to His disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem, for the promise of the Father is going to come to you. And the promise of the Father is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He said, and you will be filled with power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be My witnesses after that in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the world. And it began, you read about it in Acts chapter 2. It says they were all in this upper room, 120 of them. And suddenly there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and the place was shaken by something like an earthquake, and tongues of fire, which has been prophesied to come into this place, came on the heads of all those who were in that room, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they began to speak in other languages that they previously had not known, and they went out on the streets preaching the gospel, and the people were touched by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter stood up with the 11 other apostles and he said, these men are not drunk like you think, but this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel that I will release My Holy Spirit upon all people, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and on your servants, boy servants and girl servants, the Holy Spirit shall come and they shall prophesy. And the power of the Holy Spirit fell. And 3,000 people got saved on the spot. And they baptized them in the mikvahs, the ceremonial washing facilities outside the temple. And they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the church was born. And the new covenant came. We are getting ready for such a time as that. A new beginning, a new Pentecost. A new, really, see, Pentecost is celebrated by the Jewish people because it is the time of the second harvest. The first harvest comes at the time of Passover and what they call first fruits. And that is the beginning of the harvest season in Israel. For us, it comes usually in April. And it's the beginning of the barley harvest. But then after that is finished, 50 days later, you know, Pentecost in the Greek means 50. It means jubilee. 50 days after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, 50 days after Passover comes Pentecost. And it is celebrated by the Jewish people as the second harvest of the year. The first is the barley harvest, and now comes the wheat harvest. And they, farmers and shop owners and people in the markets, are not supposed to eat any loaves of bread made from wheat that come from the wheat harvest until after the day of Pentecost, when two loaves of challah bread made from the wheat are brought to the priest and he waves them before the Lord. They are like the two tablets of the law that was given to Moses. And if you read and study in the time of Moses, it is assumed by Jewish rabbis that he received the law from Moses at the same time. And so they connect this time as the receiving of God's precious harvest, the receiving of the law, the receiving of the good things. Now, many evangelical Christians believe that the law is bad. But that's not what Jesus says. He said the law is good and holy. We're bad because we can't keep it. But Jesus says, I've not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it in every detail. And he himself became the fulfillment of the law because he's the only one who was ever able to keep it. And secondly, everything about the law is given in shadows and types, and he is the fulfillment in reality. And so everything that was given as rules and regulations in the law, by the giving of the Holy Spirit and the sacrifice of Christ, it comes inside of us by the impartation of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord says, a new covenant I will give to the house of Israel. I will put my law in their hearts, no longer on stone, outward ordinances, but I will put it in their hearts. And they will not need that anybody teach them, for I will teach them. The new covenant is about that which God began outwardly, now all of a sudden coming inside of you, so that you live and you move and you have your being by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the revelation of His Word, by His character, His love, and His power in your life. Pentecost was that day for the second harvest, the anointing and release of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Jewish people on this feast, read through the book of Ruth. In an earlier time of the year for us, in March, we usually celebrate Purim. And that's when the Jewish people read through the entire book of Esther. But at this feast, they read through the entire book of Ruth. And they've been doing this for more than 2,000 years. And as they read through the book of Ruth, they do it because Naomi is returning to the house of bread. She is returning to Bethlehem, which means house of bread. And she's bringing with her a Gentile daughter-in-law who has come out of witchcraft and darkness. And they come back to Bethlehem, to the land of Israel. She, that is Ruth, this Gentile, receives the law of the Lord and the covenant of the Jewish people. And she says to Naomi, where you go, I will go. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. And where you live, I will live. And where you die, I will die. And there also will I be buried. So this is a time of covenant. It's a time of the release of the second harvest. It's a time of coming back to the Lord. Now, for the Jewish people in the Hebrew, Shavuot is what they call Pentecost in the Greek and Shavuot in the Hebrew. Shavuot actually means weeks because it's 7 weeks from the time of Passover. And Pentecost means 50. It's approximately 50 days. Pentecost is one of the three solemn feasts of the Lord. There are 7 feasts mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, where the Lord says, consecrate yourselves for these special holy days. The holy days given to Israel were not just like any holidays. They are not like the 4th of July. They are not like Memorial Day, as honorable as those holidays are. But these were holy days, consecrated days, where the shofar would blow and the people would come together in the purposes of God. They would gather unto his assignments to hear from God, to be purified, to rededicate themselves unto the Lord, and to receive new marching orders for the days to come. 3 of them are called the solemn feasts of the Lord. They're also known as the pilgrim feasts. And one of them was the Feast of First Fruits or Passover. They happen all within the same couple of days. Passover. And the second one is Pentecost, Shavuot. And the third one is the Feast of Tabernacles. And all Jewish men were required, no matter where they lived, to come to Jerusalem for those 3 events. So that was an amazing commitment. And most men who came from far, when they came to Jerusalem for Passover, they usually stayed for the month and a half, almost 2 months, the 50 days, because it was too much to travel all the way back to Spain by boat and then come all the way back again. So they usually stayed in Jerusalem during that time. So the whole city was filled with people from all the nations round about getting ready for this day called Pentecost. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit came. Now come back with me to this scripture in Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 8. The Lord says, I will signal for them and gather them in. Surely I will redeem them. They will be as numerous as before. Though I scattered them among the peoples, yet in distant lands they will remember me. They and their children will survive and they will return. I want you to grab hold in the spirit of your children today. This is a word for the Jewish people specifically. The Lord says, I will signal for them. When I read that verse, it wouldn't leave me alone. Do you ever read the scriptures and some of them just keep niggling at you? It's like you can't get away from them. The Lord says to meditate on the word of the Lord. And I love it when the Lord keeps reminding you. He won't let something leave you. If you get a verse of scripture that keeps coming again and again and again and again to you, it means that the Lord has a whole lot more to tell you about it, but you're not getting it yet. And so I was looking at this. It says, and the Lord will signal for them. I thought, what do you mean the Lord will signal? Is he going to stand up in heaven and say, hello? Hi? What do you mean the Lord's going to signal for them? I think right now the Lord is signaling for people all around the United States of America. So I thought I better do some deeper study on this word signal, because it sounds strange to me that the Lord will signal. What kind of language is that? The Lord will signal. So this I read in the NIV, and then I went and I looked it up in the New King James. And it got weirder, because there it says, and the Lord will whistle for them. How many of you have a New King James with you? You see what it says in your New King James? It says, and the Lord will whistle for them. I couldn't imagine. I said, what do you mean the Lord's whistling? Sitting on his throne, and he's whistling for them. I thought, this is really weird. Which word is right? Is it signal? God's going to signal for them? Or is God going to whistle for them? This was kind of out of my paradigm. I thought, God doesn't whistle for somebody. So I thought, I better go back into some other translations. So I went into the Old King James. And you know what it says? The Lord will hiss for them. And they will come. I thought, this is getting weirder, Lord. First the Lord's signaling, and then he's whistling, and then he's hissing for them. And I thought, I better look up that word. So I looked up that word, and it says, not a scornful kind of hissing, but just a shh, 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 shh. I get this picture of Elijah, when the Lord spoke to him and said, go and prophesy and call a man to be the prophet in your place. His name is Elisha, and he's looking after 12 yoke of oxen. He's a farmer. He's a farmer contractor and a manager and a supervisor over 12 different teams of oxen. Go and get him, and he will be the prophet in your place. And so, Elijah was a bit weird. Most prophets are a bit weird. And because people like me say that, they have a rejection complex. But I've got a lot of prophet in me myself, so I may be a bit weird. Not weird to God, but often they are called to do things that seem unusual. And often they are a little eccentric. Eccentric means that you are not normal. Eccentric means that there is something about you that is overly dynamic. It goes beyond what is average. I want to say to you that you should stop trying to be normal and stop trying to be average. Stop trying to fit in with everybody's mold and be who God has called you to be. And if there isn't something about you that's unusual, I don't think you got the whole package yet. Because there should be something about you that is somewhat unusual. And if you've been suppressing it because you're worrying what other people will think, well, come and be a part of this church. Now, you won't be flighty or weird before the throne of God, or you won't be able to stay here. I won't kick you out, but you won't feel comfortable. I tell you that. But when you are an eccentric, in God's eyes, you're normal. If you have this propensity about you. And so Elijah, the prophet, came down. And he saw Elisha, And he went to him. He didn't even talk to him. He didn't say, come on, let's go out for lunch. He didn't send him an email with explanation. He just took his mantle and went over to him, and he brushed the mantle over him like that and kept on walking. And when a prophet of the Lord brushes his mantle over you, then it's powerful. If it's ordained of the Lord and not a gimmick, it's very powerful. And Elisha knew it right away. And he said, hold on. Don't go away so quickly. He said, let me follow you now. There was an anointing that came. He said, let me follow you now. And he said, what have I to do with you? Kind of, he brushed him off. But Elisha said, I'm just going to go and deal with my stuff. And he went and he burned the yokes, the wooden pieces that were on the oxen, and sacrificed the ox. And he left it all behind and he went and followed the prophet of the Lord until the day came. You know the story, when the mantle of Elijah fell on Elisha and a double portion of his spirit came on him. Now it's like that. I want to speak to you now because it's like that. This is happening all over the country now. God is going, I don't know how he's going to signal you, how he's going to get your attention, but a new day has arrived. And it's a day of hearing the call of the Lord in your spirit. It's a day of hearing the signal of the Lord. It is not man-made. It is beyond what we could produce, what we could invent, what we could design. We don't have the money, the people, the energy, or the ability. We don't have the talent. We don't have the skill. We cannot make it happen. We cannot engineer it. And if we do, it'll be a time bomb ready to explode. But something bigger, something heaven sent, is being initiated. I call this threshold preaching. And this year, God will not allow me to get away from threshold preaching because we're on the threshold, ready to move in to a whole new genre of anointing in the power and presence of the Lord. And it begins with the Lord signaling his people. It happened, you can keep your finger there, in the book of Zechariah. But come with me to Ruth. It says in Ruth, in verse 22 of chapter 1, Ruth 1, verse 22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now it's a little earlier in the spring, but nevertheless, the Jewish rabbis read the book of Ruth during the time of Pentecost. But this is now the story of Naomi. What did she do wrong? I looked through the scripture and I couldn't find it. She married a man named Elimelech. And Elimelech and her had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And there was famine in the land of Israel. And there was no bread in the house of bread. There was no bread in Bethlehem where they lived. And so this father took the whole family. Be careful, dads. I am not a policeman. You know that. I'm not legalistic and not heavy-handed. But dads, please be careful. The steps that you take out of convenience or your own pain or whatever, please hear my heart. It has such powerful ramifications on your whole family. And here we find that Elimelech took his family against the will of God out of the house of bread. And they crossed over the Jordan into the land of Moab. Moab is a nation that was formed out of an incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters. Witchcraft was involved, and it became a witchcraft nation, an idol-worshipping nation. And they went there because of a promise of a job. Please hear me. Do not go somewhere just because of the promise of a job.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You might say, well, you don't have to pay the bills in my house. But I know one thing. Those who trust in the Lord shall not be ashamed. And you seek first the kingdom of God. And the words of Jesus is that he will provide all of the other things. You don't have to be a part of Antioch International Church. I'm not asking you to be a part of this church. I'm asking you to be where God wants you to be. But when God puts you there, be there and give everything you've got to the purposes of God until God moves you on. And don't go because of convenience or finances. Because at the end of your life, you will be lean. And I don't mean just skinny. You'll find you've been climbing a ladder all of your life. And you get to the top and find it's leaning against the wrong wall. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other things will come unto you. So Elimelech took Naomi, and within a 10-year period, Elimelech, the father and husband, died. The two sons married, Mahlon and Chilion. They married Moabite girls who had been raised in witchcraft. Be careful that you don't marry a girl raised in witchcraft. Amen. Be careful that you do not marry a boy raised in witchcraft. Amen. But sometimes, against every bit of common sense, God is in it. Sometimes, be so careful. Because that's the way that sometimes God reaches out to somebody who's on the outside to bring them in to the family of God. And it happened. Ruth loved Naomi. And when Naomi said it's time, she heard back to the house of bread. And Naomi, after 10 years, she says she heard that God had visited the people of Israel again. Do you understand that the word is going to go out from what God is doing in this place? It will be heard. Not just here. I don't want you to think that this is the center of the universe or anything like that. This is just one place where God is going to do something very, very special. But there will be many others. And people will hear the sound. Whew. God is revisiting his people once again. And people who have been asleep in the spirit, people who have gone into coma, who've gone into spiritual coma, are going to wake up in this hour. People who have gone, who've been like sheep put out to pasture. People who think the days of God's blessings are finished. People who've given up and lost hope and come to a place just of numbness in the spirit are going to wake up. People who have been grieving because of the loss of past generations and anointings of the Lord and things that they almost touched and they almost felt and some had a wonderful experience in the past. There's going to be a great awakening. And I'm not talking about Resurrection Day. I'm talking about one in the flesh with the people of God. And people will hear that God has visited his people once again. And they will start to come. Watch it. Watch it. I'm prophesying to you. Watch it happen. And in the middle of it all, God is going to speak to you. Because even though you're here, some of you are not here. Because you still think this is a cafeteria and not a family. There should be a verse in the scripture that says something. Once we were a cafeteria, but now we are a family. Once we were eating on picnic benches, but now we have come into the living room. Once we did not have a father, but now we have the Father of heaven, the Lord God Almighty. Once we did not have purpose, but now the zeal of your house has eaten us. Oh, God, this is what I was born for. So get ready for that to come to you. Whew. Whew. Do you know what it means when something is subtle? It means that it's not obvious. It means it's not obtrusive. People want to hear from God in such an obvious way. They want to, God, if you really want me to do this, will you please come and hit me in the face with a shovel? Then I will obey you, Lord, and I will serve you with all my heart. Now, sometimes he does. If any of you come in with a rather flat-looking face over the next weeks, I'll say to you, God's been hitting you with a shovel, has he? But that is not how he's going to call most people. And herein is the response and the importance of the response. Because when God hisses at you, when he whistles, when he signals you, I don't know how he's going to do it. You might just have a niggling in your heart that you can't let go of. But it may be more than that. But God's going to speak to you. And then you're going to say, Lord, like we dedicated that little baby today. Oh God, here I am. Here I am. Let your Holy Spirit move in me. And bring me to the elevation of your divine call and purpose on my life. So Naomi heard that God had visited his people once again. And she began to prepare. And she told her daughters-in-law, please go back to your families. I cannot help you. But Ruth heard the whistle from heaven as well. And Ruth said, no way am I leaving you. And made that profound covenant with Naomi and Naomi's God. And the two of them returned to the house of bread. House of bread. Jesus is that bread, isn't he? They returned to the living bread. at the time of the barley harvest. Come with me back now to Zechariah. And we read there in Zechariah 10, I will signal them, the Jewish people, and gather them. Surely I will redeem them or buy them back, and they will be as numerous as before. Though I scattered them among the peoples, this has not yet fully happened. This does not refer to the time of Christ or any biblical time. This has only begun since this past 100 years, and specifically 1948, and since then. Surely I will gather them. Though I scattered them, it says in verse 9, among the peoples, yet in distant lands, they, the Jewish people, will remember me. They and their children will survive. After 2,000 years, the word has been proven true. They and their children will survive, and they will return. I will bring them back from Egypt and gather them from Assyria. Syria in the Bible is not Syria. It is Iraq. I will bring them to Gilead. Gilead is the Golan Heights, where they're already there since 1967. And I will bring them to Lebanon, which the whole nation of Lebanon will become part of Israel. And there will not be room enough for them. And they will pass through the Sea of Trouble. That might have happened already, if we think of the Second World War. The surging sea will be subdued. All the depths of the Nile will be dried up. Iraq's serious pride will be brought down. We could say that has happened. And Egypt's scepter will pass away. The government of Egypt will be completely destroyed. You need to read Isaiah 19, where it says, Assyria and Egypt will come to an end. Read Isaiah 19, verse 19. It says, but for those who survive, they will serve the Lord in Egypt and in Iraq. And they will join together with Israel in partnership. And there will be a highway from Egypt through Israel to Iraq. And they will be the beloved of the Lord, the hand of God, the holy people of God. So that is the end of the story for them. It's a good one. But now in verse 12 it says, and with this I'm closing, I will strengthen them, the Jewish people, in the Lord, and in his name they will walk. See, some people think that the Lord's plan for Israel is just to give them back their property and to give them their land and to let that land expand to the fulfilled words that he gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 19. But it's not just about the land. He says there in verse 12, please look at it. I will strengthen them, say in the Lord. Say it again, in the Lord. And in his name they will walk. So there is a Holy Spirit revival coming to the house of Israel. But there is a Holy Spirit revival coming to the church. There's a parallel restoration between God's plans for Israel at the end of the age and his church around the world in preparation for the one new man end time anointing that's coming. You might look at the church and say, what a mess it's in. Well, it's not in as big a mess as Israel. And if you can have faith for Israel, you can have faith for the church of Jesus Christ. Get ready for mighty revival in the nation. Wait and listen for the signal of the Lord. The hiss from heaven. The holy hiss. Different from the holy kiss. The holy hiss. Come on up. Then you respond. Now I'm closing by talking to you about your family now. What about your children? What about your husband and your wife? You cannot talk them into anything. They're people. Strong people. Even the quiet ones are really strong. I used to think, after reading a book, The Strong-Willed Child, that some were strong and others were not until I became a pastor. And then I realized that they're all strong. Just some are more quiet than others. And sometimes the quiet ones are more strong than the loud ones. But there's a promise of the Lord here for your children. The Lord says, I will signal to them. See, the signal of the Lord will do what no nagging wife can ever do. Can do what no persuasive husband can ever do. Can do what no father, mother, or the best of preachers could do. But the whistle from heaven can get your attention. And once you hear the holy hiss of heaven and you respond, it doesn't matter if nobody else comes with you. You're no longer a follower. You're a leader. Because you're getting directly from the Lord and you're responding to Him. And now I say to you, a new move of the Holy Spirit is afoot. And we're on the threshold. And the Holy Spirit is signaling the people of God. Don't be ashamed of your past. I heard somebody say, every Christian has a past. But every sinner has a future. Amen. And that's in God. Now today, even today in this place, God has spoken to some of you. It's not my words. I didn't work hard for this sermon. I never spent 12 hours studying it. I didn't spend 5 hours studying it. I didn't spend 3 hours studying it. I'm not magical. But if God speaks, I want to share it with you. I know it's from heaven because I didn't work for it at all. Now let me pray for you. Whew. Wind of the Holy Spirit, come. Would you stand to your feet now? A signal from heaven on your life. The call of God to bring you into bigger things. Quit fighting. Quit struggling over things that aren't important. Let your life move in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, for you're on the threshold of a new day. Get ready now. Get ready to believe God for things you didn't think were possible for you. I'm not talking about you just getting a break. I'm talking about you moving into the power and anointing and call of God for your life. Open your hands now, please, and pray this prayer with me. We're going to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. I'm beginning to hear the sound of the whispers of heaven. I receive the word of God. The call of God on my life. I come to you, Lord. I come back to you in the deep places. I give everything to you. I dedicate myself to you. I welcome the power of the Holy Spirit. The wind of God. Come, Lord Jesus. And connect me with the destiny that you've called me to. I say yes. And I receive your blessing for my life, for my family. I will not be denied. You've thrown the prophetic mantle over me. How can I not follow? I move forward now in decision and commitment to the plans of God for my life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.